Stephanie Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're going to spend some time meditating on Scripture, and we're going to pay attention to what we can notice, what we can learn about resilience from Hebrews 12. But before we do that, you guys, let's be real. It is wild and crazy out there, isn't it? Everything is chaotic. There are big emotions. We can all use some time to come back, to slow down, to center ourselves, so that we're ready and prepared, and particularly our nervous systems, that they're prepared to be able to take in Scripture and really meditate on it. So together we're going to take a few deep breaths, but before we do, I'd love for you to place your hand on your chest, like right on your heart or right above your heart on your breastbone, just as a gentle affirmation, you know, to your own body that you care. And then we're going to take a deep inhale. Hold it. And then exhale slowly. Again, inhale. Notice your hand on your chest. And exhale. Two more times. Inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. What do you notice in your body right now as you do that? Do you notice you're starting to slow down? That you're a little more present? Okay. If you'd like to follow along with me today, I encourage you to pull out your own Bible and read along, or you can just listen along with me. Or, option number three, you can listen along now, go back, do it again later with your Bible. However you want to do it is perfectly okay. The point is that we want to spend time in Scripture. And as we meditate on Scripture, we don't want to do just a cursory read through. Like, our brains are used to doing that, right? We are used to scrolling. We gain information quickly and we dismiss it just as quickly. And it's very easy for our brains to do that with the Bible too. But His Word makes an impact on us when we take time to really absorb it, to turn it around in different angles, to talk about it, to practice it, to think about it, to let it hit not just our brain, but also our emotions. Any and all of the above is what we want to do. So we're not just going to read one time today. We're going to come back a couple of different times. If you listen to my podcast long, you know that that's what we do on these Scripture meditation episodes. We're going to find ourselves today in Hebrews 12. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. And the first time we read, we're going to be reading in the ESV version. This first read through, I just want you to listen. And specifically, let's think about resilience. What stands out to you about resilience as you hear Hebrews 12? Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Okay, friends, what stood out to you as you were listening through this time? Did you hear any themes of resilience? There are two particular sections that stood out to me. Verse 3 stands out to me. Consider him, we're talking about Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That's the first thing, but where I really want to spend time today is verses 12 through 13. This part always fascinates me every time I read through it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. It seems kind of odd, doesn't it? Like this part, as I've read through this part many times over the years, it always stands out to me as like, well, that's interesting. What's it talking about? It's kind of weird. Lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees. Like I know what that feels like to feel exhausted, right? I've been through physical therapy. I know what injury is like. If you are running a race for a long time, you're going to get injured, right? There are parts of you that are going to have to be bound up. You're going to have to use some of that, like, you know, muscle tape. You're going to have to use some like knee braces. You're going to have to take time off because you're getting shin splints. I think this is a really interesting passage as we're thinking about it in those terms. And it says, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So imagine you have a knee injury and then you go running down a trail that goes up and down and through the woods and is gravel. That could create a lot of problems, couldn't it? Especially if it's not bound up correctly, because your foot is not on an even path. There are a lot of bad things that can happen. I know on a gravel road one time when I wasn't paying attention, I sprained my own ankle. Like, that's not a safe place to be when you're trying to recover from an injury. No, it says make straight paths for your feet. You know, keep it even, keep it straight, so that what is lame, what is injured, may not get worse, is not going to be injured further or put out of joint altogether, but rather it's going to be bound up and healed. I really, really, really love that picture of resilience. So what we're going to do now is read that part of scripture again, but we're going to read it in a couple of different translations and see what we can gather. First, I'm going to read it through the Amplified Version. So if you want to look along, you can. We're going to look at Hebrews 12, 12 through 13. So then, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that tremble. Cut through and make smooth, straight paths for your feet that are safe and go in the right direction, so that the leg which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. When you hear it this time through, what do you notice? What stands out to you? And what can that teach us about resilience in the body of Christ and individually? So in the passage right before this, it's talking about discipline, right? And how difficult discipline is. If I'm thinking about a runner, which this passage starts out talking about, it says, Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race which is set before us. So that's the context in which we're talking. And then he talks about discipline, that we're being disciplined by our Father, by our Heavenly Father. But what if we think about it like a coach for a second, right? If you are a marathon runner, what's your coach going to do to discipline you? Is he going to make it really easy on you? Is he going to give you a lot of days off? You know, let you lay around in a hammock? Probably not. Probably not. There are probably days you go home. If you've ever been on any kind of team in any kind of sport, you know there are days you kind of hate your coach. Like, why are they making us do this awful stuff? You know, why? It's so exhausting. I'm so tired. But what is the point of that? Is it to make the runners angry? Is it to make them hate their coaches? And why would you continue to do it? Because you know, in the end, it makes you stronger, that you're going to be better at your sport. You're going to have better mental discipline, which is half of the issue, right? The physical half is part of it, but the mental half is the other part. I hate running for that reason. My mind makes me get out of it faster than my body, I think. I'll come up with any excuse to end early. No, but if we're being disciplined, there is a cost to that, and it's not a fun one. And yet, he's saying, especially if you've endured injury or you have had to endure for a long time and you're exhausted. And we know that it's talking about that because it says, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that tremble. This is a person who's been through some things. They're bowed low. Their muscles are weak. They're tired. And then it says, cut through and make smooth, straight paths for your feet so that you are safe and go in the right direction so that your leg, which is lame, may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. What would making straight paths for your feet these days look like? Going in the right direction that are going to take your injured places, your weak bodily places that are tired and exhausted, and not make them worse, but make them better. What would that look like? What would that look like spiritually? What would that look like in your community? What would that look like in your church? What would that look like in your own soul care? Okay, we're going to read it one more time, but this time we're going to read it in the Message version. So we're going to do that again and see what we notice this time. And I'm going to back up just a verse or two, read the part we just read, and then read a verse or two afterwards this time as well. See what you notice. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off big time. For it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. So don't sit around on your hands, no more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. What did you notice that time? Had kind of a different ring to it, huh? You know, in the other versions as well, it does talk about getting along with other people. You're not running a race by yourself. You're not. The body of Christ, we're all running the race. We might be at different paces. We might be running different lengths of races because our lives are different amounts of time. Some of us come to Christ early. Some of us come to Christ later in life. But we're all having to endure. We are all being disciplined at different times and in different ways by the Lord. The coach is going to keep us in the race. He is. But how are we helping each other along the way? I really think it's cool how the Message version picks up on that and makes it much more clear in a way. It says, clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. How are we helping each other on the path? If you know a friend who's fallen in a hole and gotten their leg broken, and you see them running to the same hole again, you are going to say, watch out! Don't fall in the hole. Don't let what's lame be broken again or put out of joint. Don't you remember you fell in that the last time? We can encourage one another. We can help each other. We can see where people are falling and come alongside them and encourage them. We can do that. A good friend knows what their best friend is good at when they're running the race, right? And they can call out those things in them and help them. They can also know where their weaknesses are and how to help them when they see those arising too. But here's the thing. Work at getting along with each other and with God. This is a time and place when the body of Christ is having a hard time getting along. Would you agree? There are people that see very differently from one another. Not all necessarily about Christ, but about a lot of things on the sidelines. And maybe we're not clearing paths for each other very well right now. How can we run the race beside each other? How can we help each other out? How can we see our own pitfalls and not fall into them again? How can we do our own soul care so that what is injured in us, what has been disciplined in us, what has maybe been church hurt or trauma or other hurt or trauma in our lives that has left us wounded, doesn't get put out of joint, but can rather be healed? I want you to think about that as we go forward today. And I'm going to read from the start to the finish one more time. This time I'm going to read in the NIV. You can think about the things that we've talked about thus far as you're reading back through, or notice anything new that stands out to you as we read this time. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to read in the NIV verses 1 through 15. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Okay, friends, as we close today, I'm curious what you noticed as we spent time in this scripture passage. What did you notice in the different versions that we read? What is the Holy Spirit bringing up inside of you? I hope as you continue on with your day, with your week, that the Lord continues to bring this passage up inside of you. Take time to think about it. Go back and read it later. Pray about it. Meditate on it. See what the Lord has to say to you about it. And with that, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.
Thank you.